Fear is the recognition that I'm at the edge of my understanding, or I am at the edge of what I thought myself capable of. Right? I'm being ushered into or invited into new learning, or ushered into or invited in to expand. Right? And if we look at it that way, right, it's no longer something to be feared. It's something to be embraced. Then we can take fear by the hand and we can take it with us through life rather than avoiding, because the avoidance of fear is the problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's how people are able to take our fear and manipulate us with it.
To overcome, you must educate. Educate not only yourself, but educate anyone seeking to learn. We are all dead America. We can all learn something. To learn, we must challenge what we already understand. The way we do that is through conversation. Sometimes we have conversations with others. However, some of the best conversations happen with ourselves. Reach out and challenge yourself. Let's dive in and learn something right now. Today we're speaking with Shayna Francesca. She is the founder of Consonate. Shayna, could you please introduce yourself? Let people know just a little bit about you, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm Shayna. And as Ed said, I'm the founder and CEO of Consonate. And my work centers around intentional leadership and living and diving into what does that mean.
So let's start with that unique name of the company. There's actually a meaning.
Yeah.
And how did that come about? And could you tell that story first?
Yeah, it's a real word. Consonate is a real word. We don't use it. So it's either dead or we just don't use it here in America. but consonate means, it's a verb. It means to arrange or blend together skillfully as parts or elements put together in a harmonious, precisely appropriate or elegant manner. And the minute I read that, I was like, first of all, why don't we use this word? and second, I'm going to use it, but as a noun, not a verb, and make it my company name, because it's so beautiful, right? And it's so perfect for what I do. Intentional. I mean, it's a in a way, consonate is a type of intentionality, right? It's just, I would say it's a synonym or an adjacent term. And I love the part where it says, you know, in a harmonious, precisely appropriate or elegant manner. But that part, you know, of the precisely appropriate. And that's the thing is that when we are living our lives intentionally, what we do, who we spend our time with, what we surround ourselves with becomes precisely appropriate for us, right? And then we recognize that every being on this planet is unique, and what's precisely appropriate for us isn't necessarily for them. But what we do need to agree on is basic human rights for all people, bodily autonomy for all people, right? That's the place we need to come from.
Yeah, that's key.
Right, that's key. And then we can understand that each one of our experiences is unique, and yet there are many things that overlap, right? And what's good for us might be good for the person next to us.
Yes, you know, that's very unique there. A lot of people don't quite get that. You don't have to agree necessarily with people. You just have to identify where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could mean they've come from a very hard place in life.
Yeah.
And now it's very important to understand people are at different stages in life. And it's hard. Life is very hard. We don't need to fight each other. We need to really get that harmonious synergy back.
Because it doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be this hard.
Right. Exactly. We've come to a place where everybody is uptight. And, you know, they don't want to open up and speak, especially truth.
Right.
Now, I found that where you came from in life is very unique, and it's unique that you're opening up about. You say that you come from like a Christian cult background, yeah. And that's kind of interesting, and how you lay out these ways people need to look at life. Very unique perspective. How did you come up with the philosophy that you have out of that background?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I grew up inside of white Christian nationalism, inside of an evangelical Christian cult, as you said. And honestly, I think I got out of it because of combination of a few things: curiosity, courage, and because it broke me. And it literally got to a place of I had to get out or I wasn't going to choose to live anymore. Right? Like the life that I was living was so incredibly painful all the time and so limiting. And I didn't specifically know that it was because of the ideology of the church that I grew up in. I just knew that my home life, everything was telling me that I had to live my life according to their rules because they said so. And they never really gave me a good enough reason other than if you don't, you're going to hell. And then I saw the people around me living their lives in ways which were completely contrary, at least in private, right, to the things that they were saying that they believed and the ways in which they were requiring me to show up. And there was a series of things that happened in my life that just broke me open, and I no longer could. I no longer could reconcile. There was no way to reconcile my life with what I was being taught. So it was just a matter of like, okay, we're done here. I've got to find another way to live because this isn't living. This is dying very painfully. And watching that, the fact that leadership was held in this godlike position, that there was no accountability for people perpetrating excessive amounts of harm, right? When I mean excessive amounts of harm, I mean physical violence, pedophilia, incest, so on and so forth. There was no accountability, right? And the blame was actually being put on the victims rather than the perpetrators. And the responsibility for preventing it from happening again on the victims. The church wouldn't step in. As a matter of fact, they refused to report to authorities, et cetera. I was like, okay. When I started forming my company, it was deeply important to me that I research, like, are there any companies in the world that have created cultures which I would actually want to be a part of, right? Because we see corporate cultures slip into the same idea, like the same ways of behaving, yeah, as cult-like churches, right? WeWork was like, yeah, that. Apple is like that. Like all of these companies are like that. And I'm not necessarily saying that they're all perpetrating harm in the same exact ways as the church, right? But in some ways, as soon as a culture starts to slip into a cult, right? And you have leadership put in a godlike position, is the minute that accountability has been withdrawn, right? And power becomes absolute. And the minute that that happens, or damn near, and the minute that that happens, people have been already being exploited, but the exploitation is really cranked up at that point, right? And so I was like, are there companies in the world? and can I create something for myself and help and encourage other people to do the same, where we create intentional leadership that is specifically wanting to create healthy environments and create the work environment as an ecosystem and a community rather than tyranny, right? Right. But that's hard. Yeah. That's hard for the leader, right? Because it takes consistent effort, right? It takes being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It takes the recognition that you don't know everything. As a matter of fact, you probably know very little, that you're going to surround yourself with people whose expertise are very complementary to your own, and in many ways know more than you do, right? But that if you respect and honor them and create space for one another, right, appropriately, they're not coming for you, they're working alongside you, right? They're like, you're supporting each other, right? And sure. and I started researching cultures where that seemed to show up, and I Francesca Gino's book Rebel Talent was significant in me being able to find cultures and hone in on cultures that were interesting for me to research. She talks a lot about Massimo Bottura, the 3 Michelin star chef, and the way that he runs his restaurant in Italy, which I found absolutely fascinating, and also Pixar's culture. So I honed in on those specifically. And then I had a friend who worked at Gore and Associates. That's another corporate culture that's really interesting. And then I recently was looking at the King Arthur Flour Company. They're entirely employee owned. So I was looking at these different structures, ways businesses are created, and just kind of studying those cultures, and the way that accountability showed up in those cultures was key in every conversation. Because it isn't, and I want to be clear to people, oftentimes people say, I am accountable, but are you? Because accountability doesn't look like surrounding yourself with all people who look like you, have grown up in similar socioeconomic statuses, similar backgrounds. That's not accountability. That's yes people. That's homogeneity. That's groupthink, right? That is not accountability. Accountability challenges you to see the world in a larger perspective. And you cannot do that if you are choosing people who see the world in exactly the same way as you do. So being intentional about creating accountability for a leader looks like being very intentional about hiring people or surrounding yourself with people as like a mastermind at minimum, where you are having a diverse array of people, right, who don't agree with you a lot of the time.
Yeah. You know, listening to some of the interviews that you've been on, I like it. You put it kind of like this: empires are built on the backs of others. What you're building is like a galaxy.
Yeah.
It's a group of stars that come together by gravity.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You have been paying attention.
I love
Look at that. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
Could you go deeper into the reasoning behind that ethos, if you will?
Yeah. Empires are kind of a version of a cult, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know? It's a way, they're typically indicative of colonizing groups of people, of taking their resources, of appropriating aspects of their culture while outlawing others. You're stealing people's individuality for the purpose of homogeneity and for the purpose of power and control. But power is a strange thing. We're not really supposed to, as Billie Eilish says, or such a strange thing. We're not really supposed to have it over one another. We're just supposed to embrace our own individual power, right? When we live in true community with one another, there is no weakness. There is no such thing. When we live in true community with one another, there's nothing to be self-conscious about, because I'm here for my specific purpose. And whatever I'm not here for, that's okay, because someone else is. And we live in community together, and what their purpose is coincides with my own in this beautiful ecosystem of people who are working together, and beings and everything, because human beings are supported by all the other life on this planet, right? And so when we recognize that we are all meant to work together, you're not looking at power over someone, you're looking to empower yourself and others, right? And so that's what true leadership is recognition of the power that each part, each person, each being plays in the ecosystem of life, and embracing that and empowering that, right? So because I'm not going to try to be good at everything. I'm going to be good at what I'm good at. I'm not going to worry about my weaknesses. We're not going to have performance reviews based on my weaknesses. We're going to have performance reviews to understand, how do I empower your strengths? In what ways am I not showing up to empower your strengths, right? As a leader. As a leader, you're going to have performance reviews from your people on a regular basis. right? You're going to ask them to review how you're being as a leader, how you're showing up, because that is what you are meant to do. You are meant to be empowering your people and showing up so they can be their best selves and they can shine bright together. And I did that. I do that with my people. I'm like, okay, so you know what? Let's talk about, you seem to be, hold on. In what ways am I not supporting you in this moment? In what ways am I not showing up? Am I asking you to do something that's redundant or that doesn't make any sense to you? Can you help me work? Let's work through this together so that I can be a better leader and I can power this better, right? I'm not wasting your time and mine. Right.
That's a good point.
Right. And so when you're doing that, you're recognizing that each person shines and has a different perspective that's powerful and beautiful and important. And you're respecting and honoring that. When you're building an empire, you're building it on the backs of people. You're building it with your will. You're dominating rather than empowering. And that's unsustainable. We've seen it over and over. Empires crumble very quickly.
That's right. I like to look at it like you're going into the boardroom and there's a dimmer switch on the wall. Each person that comes into the room, they turn that dimmer switch just one notch up. And that accumulation as people come into the room brings a greater light into them. So it's really dim with one person in the room, but with 20 people in the room, you're at full brightness. And you have to allow them to turn their portion of that light on. It's a synergy, a combined effort. And that's really what teamwork is. Even the leader should allow leadership from others if they actually can provide better leadership at that point in the process. Just step back and let the flow go. We miss that a lot of the time.
And it doesn't invalidate you for someone else to have better expertise in the moment, right?
That's ego.
Right, that's ego. In that moment, then you have to figure out, how do I empower this person? Your role is not to step back. Like leadership and stepping back for someone else to be able to step forward doesn't mean that you don't still have a role, right? Your role is still to support that person who's leading that moment, right? And that's the thing I love. I mean, I'm slightly obsessed with Pixar culture. It's why we've never seen, Pixar has had plenty of failures internally, but we've never seen a Pixar movie hit the box office and flunk. That's never happened. Why? Because internally they recognize it's not working. And they deal with that failure internally so that they're always, you know, holding each other accountable for what is it that we're actually putting out and what do we want it to look like, right? And what do we want it to be and how do we want it to connect with people? They're constantly holding each other accountable to that. And there's still some form of hierarchy there, but there's always allowed to be questioning, right? And that's the thing, is it holds that power in check and it makes the product more beautiful and more successful because of the diversity of thought, right?
Right. Yeah, framework, you know, every project has a framework, but as a builder, I understand there has to be alterations to the plans.
They're
based
always
on, yes, what's always happening. So
literally a building, if anybody who's not in the construction industry,
that's right.
Literally what is on those drawings is never built exactly as it is drawn. It is literally never, never in the history of all time has it been built exactly as it is drawn.
And it's important to understand it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the final project is what you're shooting for.
Right. That, is meeting the needs really of the client. Yep.
Yes, that's right. So how do you put your life together? You're an interior designer, but you're also a life designer.
Yeah.
How does that come together?
Yeah. So it's so funny because every time I talk about the progression immediately afterward, people are like, absolutely makes perfect sense. Now I will never question it again. But the whole thing is that design is a function of intention. Design is a function of intention, right? We can create something without designing it, right? We can build something without designing it.
Yep.
The minute you design something, you're infusing it with intention. You're sitting down and contemplating, what do I want of this thing? And now I'm going to align all my action with that intention, right? And that doesn't just apply to our interior environment. It applies to our entire lives. It applies to who we are as a leader. And I started to recognize very early on that the way that I functioned as an interior designer once I started my own business was very different than other interior designers. And I just kept embracing that. And there was this serious aspect of my work that was coaching. And, you know, coming to clients, no matter what we're working on, a restaurant, an office, their home, and saying, okay, who are you? What do you want to create? In a world with no rules, no budget, let's put all those things aside for a moment and let's talk about what you really want. And then let's figure out how to build it within your budget, right? So we're not saying, I want it to look this way. I want this, that, and no. Let's talk about what you really need. And then let's craft an environment that supports those goals rather than saying, this is what I want it to look like because you think that's what's going to support your goals, right? Let's put all of our heads together and find the best way forward. And let's also make sure it authentically reflects who you are rather than being a function of something you found on Pinterest or on, you know, on some website, social media, wherever, right? Because that might be beautiful. Just because it's beautiful doesn't mean it belongs in your house, in your home, in your restaurant, in your office, right? It doesn't mean it's going to support you and your needs and who you are, right? And diving into those conversations, I then like launched a group coaching around intentionality. And I started to recognize that like everyone in the room was like a business owner. And then all my clients are like judges and lawyers and like heads of medical departments at prestigious institutions. And one of them was like, hey, you know, I just tell everyone you're my interior designer and my life coach. And I was like, you do. And so it was at that moment that I recognized that my clients knew that the way that I worked was very different and that I could embrace that. I had the right and I needed to empower myself. And that's when I, you know, kind of dove in with both feet. And, you know, to make it really simple for people, it's, to me, it's the connection between interior design as a physical environment and interior design inside of ourselves, right? Is being a leader is just the act of becoming yourself, is the radical act of truly becoming yourself. And you don't really understand what that means until you embark on that journey. And I don't know that we'll ever fully understand what that means ever, because who we are is ever changing, but who we are fundamentally and our purpose is also ever changing. But I think at the core of it, there is some foundational elements that are the same, that will always be consistent about who we are, but everything else kind of moves and shifts around it like planets around a sun. You know what I mean? Like the sun being our core elements of who we are, and then our purpose and how we fulfill that are all kind of orbiting around that, and they change and they move, right? As we do. But ultimately you're still trying to become yourself. And the key in leadership is not only just becoming yourself, but empowering others to do the same. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big key right there.
Yeah.
You know, talking about this, you know, the world throws a lot of options at you, and getting lost in the, you know, ether can be very easy, and you can get distracted from what you're actually intending to do, that intent that you talk about. So with all the options that are flying around us and presented to us, how do we keep our focus on our intent and not on some of the glitter and glamour that is actually offered to us at times?
I think we have to get quiet. Get quiet, mm-hmm. Let ourselves lean into boredom, get curious, I think we've forgotten the power of boredom. Now, I know we've forgotten the power of boredom because so much as it is demanding our attention on a constant basis, right? And I think we have to make time, carve out time intentionally to go on what I call like curiosity walks, right? And just be present, put your phone away, or maybe you're just listening to quiet music and you're walking around. And like the other day, so for instance, the other day, I went on a curiosity walk and I saw that poison ivy was sprouting up. I was like, you know what? The only thing I know about poison ivy is that I'm allergic to it. And most people are. But what if I just got curious as to what part it plays in an actual ecosystem? Does it? Is it native? Is it invasive? All of these things, like, let me know, right? And I discovered that it is native. It isn't invasive, even though some websites will say it's invasive. Apparently it's not. It's native. It grows at the edges of forests where the forest and the and a field meet. It helps to filter runoff water. It helps to stop seeds that are invasive that could harm the forest from making it into the forest. Deer and lots of small animals eat poison ivy. It actually grows berries. This part I didn't know. I didn't even know it grows berries. It grows berries and birds eat them in the fall when food sources are scarce. There's lots of these interesting things, right? And now I've completely forgotten your question because I got so wrapped up in poison ivy. But you know, the point is that I make a practice of creating time for boredom. Oh, I remember of how do we keep focus on what's important? The more that we discover other aspects of this ecosystem we live in, the earth, right? And we begin to honor them, the more we start to recognize what, how we're allowed to show, like empower ourselves to show up authentically ourselves, because poison ivy doesn't try to be an oak tree. It's just poison ivy, right? And we then can recognize, okay, I play a critical part in the ecosystem of this world, of my community, so on. And I'm just going to embrace that. And I'm not going to try to be everything to everybody. And I'm going to get quiet. And I'm going to say yes when I mean yes. And I'm going to say no when I mean no. And I'm going to recognize the power in those words and that neither needs any explanation. Right? Like I don't owe anybody an explanation as to why I'm using those words or any words in general. Right? And we just start to get to sit with and create space for our own authentic self and to start practicing listening to our intuition. Because the more we practice listening to it, the stronger it gets. Right? Yeah. And honoring it, the stronger and more powerful it becomes. And the more we make space for other people to do the same, to say yes and mean yes. And like this applies to even just our basic relationships, right? Because anything we want to be good at as a leader, we have to be good at in our private, we practice in our private life, right? Who we are in public. So like in your private life, something my girlfriends and I do is we'll say yes to something, we agree to something, but if the day comes, even an hour beforehand, all of a sudden we're exhausted. We did our best to try to make it to this thing, but we just don't have the energy. I would rather my friend cancel 5 minutes before we're supposed to be somewhere, right? And me head back home, than them show up and be a fraction of themselves, be forcing themselves to be there, be exhausted, and then possibly us get into some kind of tiff because of it, right? Because they're exhausted. They can't really be present there, or them just be further drained and unable to show up in other aspects of their life because they need the rest, right? We make space for each other's humanity. And by doing so, it makes me a better leader so that when someone calls out or when someone's late, right, in my working relationships, I can extend that same thing because I've been practicing it, right? I can say, okay, what ways can I show up for you? You know, traffic is bad, or, you know, things went shitty this morning and, you know, at home, something happened. I can extend that humanity and I can recognize like, hey, I can be a good human in this moment and not just demand perfection that I could never live up to. I'm not perfect. So.
Yeah, that's a hard one to be perfect.
Well, it doesn't exist. Yeah, if we want to be perfect,
that's right.
if, and I say this consistently, if we want to be perfect, we'll be good at only one thing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So intent, keeping focus on your intent, it's yeah. pretty simple if you just think about what's happening.
Yeah.
I know, you know, a lot of what holds us back is fear. And you on your one of the podcasts said 99% of the time your beliefs are just your fears, and that holds you back. Fear is a big thing.
Oh yeah.
How do we handle fear and, you know, put that baby step in front of the other foot to take that first step into fear?
Yeah. Fear, I want to help people reframe fear. Fear is a beautiful thing, not something to be afraid of, right? Most of the time we fear itself, not actually any
yes.
thing, right? Fear is the recognition that I'm at the edge of my understanding, or I am at the edge of what I thought myself capable of, right? I'm yeah. about to, I'm being ushered into or invited into new learning, or ushered into or invited in to expand. Right. And if we look at it that way, right, it's no longer something to be feared. It's something to be embraced. Then we can take fear by the hand and we can take it with us through life rather than avoiding, because the avoidance of fear is the problem. Right. It's how people are able to take our fear and manipulate us with it, because we're afraid
That's
of the fear
big.
Itself. Right. If we take fear yeah. by the hand, it's much harder for people to manipulate us with it, because we're like, wait a second. Then, because then it triggers curiosity. If someone says you have to be afraid of something, then we're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get curious about them. I'm going to learn something about it. Right. If we make this practice around yeah. fear being the edge of what we know ourselves to be capable for of, or the edge of our learning and understanding, then we know the way to embrace fear is through curiosity. And when someone tries to manipulate us with fear, we're going to enter in with curiosity instead. Right. And so yeah. then our fear is no longer a weapon. It's no longer able to be turned into harmful ideology. Right. Because we're going to use it as a springboard for learning.
That's right. You know, reflecting back onto my life, there's been a lot of times that I really focus in on some of the regrets that yeah. I've had in life, the things that I can't change.
Yeah.
This is another thing that holds a lot of people back, is those regrets. And they want to live vicariously through their younger, you know, children or yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I think we can pivot our lives anytime we want. And rather than
yes.
trying to force another human being to live the life that we are pretending that we want, because if we actually wanted it, we're going to do something about it, right? Right.
That's
and
right.
And let's form community around ourselves to support that thing, right? We've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We've bought too much into the lie that this life is meant to be comfortable, when growth is challenge, it is change, it
yes.
is uncomfortable. So we've got to make ourselves comfortable with being uncomfortable, and be willing to just embrace change.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's the other thing that becomes really, really deeply powerful, is when we recognize, when we get comfortable with being uncomfortable, we get comfortable saying, I don't know. Right. We get comfortable saying,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to
yeah.
find out about that thing.
Yes.
You know,
I'm going to
search it out. I'm going to get to know it. I'm going to recognize that that is what it is to be human, is to simply
yes.
be curious and learn and grow and change, you know?
That opens you up to a lot of different aspects of life that we tend to overlook. And a big one of them is connection.
Yeah.
we lose a lot of great connections because of our own ideology, our own subconscious mind, those fears that our brain protects us from. So what is the best way to step into making those awkward connections that you would not normally try to connect with somebody, you know, because I think that's very important to look at those other points of view in life. How do we make those connections?
First, we should understand that we are not entitled to anyone's time, wisdom, knowledge, none of it. We're not entitled to anyone. So when we meet someone and we want to connect with them, first, we have to also, second, we have to also remember we're all human and super awkward, and most human beings are just worried about their own awkwardness and not yours. Right? So there's like so much nuance to the conversation, right? So I think it's important to honor someone's time, to, you know, if you feel a good connection with them, you know, follow up and make sure you do so within a week, you know, especially in a professional aspect. And set up, you know, a possible further other coffee date. But I also want to put some more parameters around this. You're not going on a coffee date with that person to pick their brain, right? Unless you are a starting out entrepreneur and you're approaching someone who is financially very well off or stabilized, right? And you know that for certain, which you never really know that for certain, right? But you should never expect that person is going to be able to give you their time or their advice for free, right?
Yes.
And so I think it's really important that that you approach every interaction with someone with respect and honoring of their time, and whatever they choose to give to you, you make sure that you're honoring that, right? And that you're also doing your best to reciprocate that energy. So if they're choosing to give you their time for free, then, you know, keep them top of mind next time you meet someone interesting, and send an introduction email, right? There's ways to be of value that aren't specifically necessarily directly monetarily, right? And yet again, you cannot expect to have access to someone's time for, right? So there's this balance, there's this nuance, right? Just, you know, I think the key is just pushing aside entitlement, right? Like, work that out in your life. If you feel entitled, put that aside, work that out. That's ego, right? That's ego, that's privilege. That's a whole lot of shenanigans that you need to work through. Hire a coach, get a therapist, right?
Yeah.
Work through those things, right? So that you can be a better human and you can show up in a way that allows community, because entitlement is not community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's big in our society, entitlement.
And, yeah.
You know, we're all kind of entitled, but we're just entitled to life itself. As long as we put the effort and energy into sustaining that life.
Yeah.
And really, from recent experiences, I can tell you the energy that we put into ourselves actually equals longevity. And in many ways, that's just not physical, that's mental, and that's, you know, social. We need connection. And if we're always going to be Mr. Right and Mr. Know-it-all, we're going to miss some of the little things that can actually help build our character a little more.
Yeah.
So there's always nuance to everything and everybody that we meet. Yeah. So finding the ability to accept people and circumstances, you know, we never can control that all the way. Right.
We can't control anything. Control is a construct. It's not real. Control is not real.
That's true.
And I think if we look at it in an aspect of connection rather than control, right? So like me putting my hand out and me putting my hand out and offering my hand in friendship to someone is different than me grabbing it without their permission and dragging them along with me, right?
That's right.
That's different, right? That's control. That's not healthy. Community is healthy. Community is me offering my hand and this person you know, maybe taking my hand back, but no one's gripping and holding on to the each other. We're equally holding on, right? We're each holding on to the other. Yeah. So if one of us lets go, that the connection is broken, right? Right. It's not, there's no forcing. We're not anchored.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we're grounded together with one another, but we're not anchored into another person. And again, I think we've got to get to a place societally as we're embracing nuance. Nothing is so easily put into a bucket. Anytime someone, and Brené Brown talks about this extensively, dichotomies are most often false. Things are not one thing or another. They are usually a whole bunch of things all at the same time. And the more we embrace that, the less struggle we find in our life and the more we can accept people for who they are. But again, going back to the premise of like, it doesn't matter who you are. My boundary is if you do not accept bodily autonomy for all people and you do not accept and empower basic human rights for all people, then you do not have access to my time, paid or unpaid. Right. I'm not giving you my energy. Yeah. Right. Because I know myself.
Boundaries.
Right. I know myself not to be safe with you. Right. So it's a matter of embracing nuance and also agreeing on basic human rights. You know what I mean? Like there's just so many depths of understanding of the world.
Well, yes. The core of everything has to be based on humanity.
Yeah.
Because that's truly the value of everything is life. And life is so interesting. It brings so many challenges and it's a lifelong learning experience. And if you say you know it all and you quit learning, you're going to get left behind. And you really don't want to get left behind.
Right. Well, that's the thing is that if you choose in this moment, especially if you're choosing to insist that you're right, you will be left behind. And that's the thing that we're seeing in with leaders right now is them insisting they're right and having no data to prove that. And everyone's like, but you're not right. And they're getting left behind. The problem is they're getting violent about their being left behind. You know, and so collectively, we've got to hold accountable for that. But I also think it's important, and I know we don't necessarily have time to jump into too much time to jump into this, but I think it's important that we also question how we use the word and discuss humanity, because I think for most of us, we think about human beings as being, you know, this kind of apex in the ecosystem, right? Like we are. And the reality is, and the reality is that fungus talk to each other. Right. And there's more fungus on the planet than there is than any other living being. Right. And trees talk to each other through mycelium, through fungus, right. Through the complex. The complex organization of that. Plants talk. They just don't speak English or speak whatever human languages we speak. Right. The world around us speaks and it emanates energy the same way that we do, because words are just energy. Right. But we have hierarchically categorized our type of speech as being the most valuable and important. Right. And so I think it's really important that we recognize, and I'm starting to dive into permaculture to understand this better, is to recognize that we aren't valuable without our entire ecosystem. And so we do not sit at the top. Right. It's not a pyramid. It's a circle. It's a circle. Right. And everything depends on all the other aspects. And we have to start honoring every aspect of the ecosystem we live in equally with ourselves.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are going to continue to destroy it.
That's so true. And it's a lot of power, which just said there, you know, if we could learn to live in harmony with instead of control, you know, a lot of the times that control turns into tragedy and can be avoided. It can be avoided.
It's
interesting. Shana, do you have anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
No, I think we covered a lot. It's a lot for people to digest in just about 45 minutes.
It was a great conversation. Do you have a call to action for our people?
Yeah, absolutely. So every month I have, except August I take off, but every month I have virtual workshops. One is called Mastering Intention, and that's about all aspects of your life. It's life design. And then one is Intentional Leadership. So those happen, each one happens every month. They're about 45 minutes. I make them really digestible. So please engage with those. There's a couple coming up in June and July are already up on the website. If you're interested in group coaching, I have another set of group coaching launching in the fall in September. Just connect with me. I would love to, or at least at minimum subscribe to my website, because I send out really beautiful, helpful information, nuggets from what I've shared on podcasts or interviews or in my talks. Absolutely reach out and connect with me through my website is www.consonate.world, and I'm sure it'll be tagged in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah. I love the power of your intention, and you know, somebody's comfortable with what they're doing by the authority that they put off, and you really come off as an authoritative figure with a lot of what you're talking about. I can't say thank you enough for taking the time to share it here today with us on the Dead America podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you found this podcast enlightening, entertaining, educational in any way, please share, like, subscribe, and join us right back here next week for another great episode of Dead America Podcast. I'm Ed Waters, your host. Enjoy your afternoon, wherever you may be.